It is Wednesday night, and that means it's the live edition of Two Legs. It's Ranking the Tracks. It's volume 14. It's Broad Street. Give my regards to Broad Street. We've got a couple different versions here. We'll show in a second, but it's myself, Tom Hunyadi. It's Andy Nichols. Andy, my friend, it's that time. These weeks are going by actually pretty quick, aren't they?
Very quick, my friend. Very quick indeed. How are you? How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Had just a nice pasta dinner. Now I'm ready to rank the tracks.
Rank the tracks. Let me get our stream set up here. Make sure that the
Yeah,
comments
make
are
sure
coming in. Let's make sure that that's working because we don't want to have that problem again. All right, I'm going to do a little test here and make sure that works. Okay. And then if you can chime in there at some point too.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that right now.
Thank you. Okay. Because the live chat is enabled.
Okay, I just posted.
Now, and
There
Nathan
we
just
go,
chimed. Nathan, hey
Nathan's going
guys.
on, Nathan.
Okay. It looks like it's working. We'll just give everybody a minute to pop on there, make sure that it
Yeah.
works. Okay.
Great.
There's Tom. Yeah, the much anticipated Broad Street. Love it or hate it. There's Mr. Boyce, who he
Hello,
gave us his ranking today.
yes.
And Ed Crawford, the mega Broad Street fan, is here too.
I love
Everybody's, yeah.
it.
Chase, Robert,
Hold
Kenneth, good evening. Karen, mention your she did chime in.
Who's that?
Karen, a good friend of mine on the in the chats.
Okay.
Yes, well, Tom doesn't eat meat, but yeah, I had a steak dinner tonight, and it was so, gonna be
Fine,
honest.
that's great. I've worked in many a chop house, and that's actually my favorite kind of restaurant to work at is a chop house.
Really?
So yeah, I love working with steak. Yeah.
Okay. Kenny from Edison. Cool. Edison,
Sweet.
not too far away from me here. Susan, the
Hey,
stalwart. There
Susan.
she is.
Hey, Susan.
Jacob, hey guys, just wondering, will you do a rank the tracks on unreleased songs from McCartney just for fun?
Well, unreleased songs. Ooh, that could be interesting.
Oh, he means
You're looking
all
at like
unreleased.
Squid, you're looking at Boil
Ah.
Crisis, you're looking at stuff like that, you know.
Yes, Oliver, we've got the tapes. We've got
Yes,
the VHS.
we've got the tapes.
We got the VA. We got the VHS.
We got the tapes right here, my friend. This is the Columbia.
That Columbia version?
Yep, this is Columbia.
Mayo's in the house. Hi, Joe,
Hey,
Oliver.
Joe. Oliver, what's going on, fellas?
Yep. Kevin, I just got back from emergency grocery store running 90 miles an hour in Charlottesville, Virginia, just to catch this.
That's great.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I think we're doing one on the unreleased tracks ranking is a great idea.
I think that's a great idea. You get water spout, right? I
It,
gotta make
yeah,
sure I say that right,
you can say it right for the first time in a year and a half. My God.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Oliver, Andy better not put Goodnight Princess at number one. Don't worry about that, Oliver. Goodnight Princess, not number one. Yeah. CD or
Listen,
CD version, or we got a question that we
CD.
do
No,
C
I'm saying CD version for sure tonight. Yes.
Yeah. Christian, good evening, Christian.
Yes. So you've got a Columbia. What CD do you have again?
I have two versions of Broad Street on CD. I have the EMI Capitol pressing,
Okay.
which is the one from the
That's
90s.
the one that's got the short. That's got like the. It's kind of like the medley where it's got a couple of them together. Whereas I've got
Yeah, you have the
my
Columbia. You're
Columbia.
Columbia. Yeah, what do you got?
Right. So my Columbia has like quarter music separate. It's its own track. You know what I mean? The
Ah,
silly
that's why there was 18.
reprise. Yeah, right. The Silly Love Song reprise is its own track. So mine is actually 18 tracks.
Right, so if we were going to rank that would have been really, that's like minutia then, because if we're going to rank
Right.
reprises and stuff like that.
Yep.
Music sound gear. Hello. Hi, Jeff Kendall. Brendan, just saw the movie for the first time last month. Let's just say I agree with the critics for once.
Okay. Hey, thanks. Well, I thank you for watching it because there you go. Because That's the thing. You watch it and you form your own opinion, but don't say it's garbage if you've never seen it before. I mean,
yes, then don't say it's garbage. And I know my friend Ed there will chime in. The 93 Paul McCartney series.
Now, is that 18 tracks as well?
17. And so but what it is, it's the EMI.
Okay.
With just the two extra tracks of No More Lonely Nights, an extended version, and then a special dance mix version.
Okay, so you got like four versions of No More Lonely Nights on there then, right?
Ballad, play out, and then those. The video game, the Commodore video game.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to mention that at some point too, because there was literally a video game for this movie.
Yes. Yes, there was. And I played it once on an emulator. God, it was awful. But
I wouldn't imagine the graphics were probably pretty shitty.
I put a clip of the guy playing Music Sound Gear says I put a clip of the guy playing the video game on Facebook. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So James has 17 songs. Yeah, because James probably has this one.
Right.
If I had to guess.
Okay.
So give my regards to Broad Street. Did you see the film when it came out?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. However, I did have this. I did have the cassette probably around, I want to say, 88-ish is when I got the cassette for. So, but I literally didn't watch it until probably, I would say, for the first time, maybe 10 years ago.
And that was the first time you saw it?
Yeah.
Damn. I thought because a child you grew up in the 80s, you would have definitely have seen.
Oh yeah, exactly. But it wasn't like Conan the Barbarian here, where it was being played every hour on the hour on HBO. You know, you had to have been really lucky for it to be played
here
in the States on any of the cable networks. I don't actually. I can't honestly remember a time where this was on American TV. If anybody remembers it,
I remember it being on like Fox channel in the 90s, like one time it was aired on, and I think I taped it. But in terms of DVD releases, I think it's only got this one.
Well, on DVD, it's had a couple VHS releases.
Right, this is the second run on VHS.
Yes, that is absolutely right. Yes, and I almost bought that too because I have seen that.
This one?
Yes, back in my VHS collecting days. Yeah.
Yeah, you could probably get this for $2 at a you know.
Oh, you could have got it for $5 when it came out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll catch him in the comments here. Ringo should have had more screen time, said Meadow Queen.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah. The CD is an A++, in my opinion. Paul promoted this heavily.
Yeah.
I remember him on The Tonight Show promoting this, and that was Music Sound Gear as well. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, cool. Broad Street was the last McCartney album I bought on vinyl just before this. Well, we're talking mid-80s here, so.
Yep, 84.
84, this was in the format, started to shift a little bit. So, yeah. So what do you say, partner? You ready?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I can't.
Why?
I mean, it was number one in the UK, this album, and only 21 here in the States. Which is just really, really odd to me. But with Pipes of Peace, it really started transferring over to UK, having Paul having the more chart success
than here in the States.
So, but wow,
which he really didn't truthfully regain until Flaming Pie.
Yeah,
here.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But album wise, not single wise. Because I would say probably after. Oh, what would you think? Maybe My Brave Face or something like that. Just the higher chart positionings. I mean, just started to plumble. Wasn't really having the high chart success. Since I would say probably Once Upon a Long Ago was his last really high charting song in the UK.
Carlos from Portugal, so happy to catch live.
Hey,
so tired.
Carlos.
Wow, Portugal, that's great, but so tired from another work day. It's in the morning there. Love your shows and ranking the tracks. It's a big favorite of mine. Thank you.
Well,
thank
great you
thing,
much.
Carlos. You can go to bed and you can watch this when you wake up because it'll be archived on our channel. So
there you go.
Thank you for those people overseas that are staying up at a super late hour anyway.
Just right, yeah.
So thank you.
And so if you're out there, if you haven't subscribed yet to the channel, please We'd really appreciate it if you subscribe. It's an even number, so it's my turn to go first.
Yeah, Joe Mayo says the start of Paul's 5-year decline. Who says there was a decline?
Well, here in the States.
I mean, here in the States.
With the chart, I mean, if you want to say decline in charts, then yeah, I'll agree.
That's it. I'll agree with the charts, yeah, but not artistically.
No, not artistically at all, not in my opinion.
Bill Leary, hi, hello. Hey, thank you for popping on. So, yeah, it's even. So it's your turn to start.
Okay.
With the 15 tracks, if you're keeping score at home, ladies and gents.
Yep.
Tom Hunyadi.
Okay. I love me a good sax solo in 80 songs, in 70 songs. However, I have not yet really found one McCartney song in the 80s that I liked the sax performance in his songs. I generally just don't like when he has a sax solo in his songs, whether it's this, whether it's Once Upon a Long Ago, but Long and Winding Road, I cannot stand what he did. I do not mind artists redoing their songs. A lot of artists started redoing their songs in the 80s here. Clapton redid After Midnight, Rod Stewart, you know, redid Reason to Believe, you know, so this kind of started a trend in a way. But, you know, I think there's like too many liberties were taken for this track. I think the sax was not a good idea. And it's like one of my least favorite things Paul McCartney has ever did in his 50-year solo career. And that is why this is my number 15. I just... And it'll, you know, you just turn this into an 80s adult contemporary song. Yes.
Schmaltzy.
Yes. Not a fan at all what he did to this song. Yeah.
Metal Queen. I really enjoy your shows. You guys are terrific, even if I don't always agree with you.
See, that's the thing. Thank you. And we're proving right here that we can disagree and still be friends.
I can't we be friends? Yeah. Man, it's just, it's not high on my list either. But yeah, I agree with you. This was rough. Very rough part to have this in the film, you know, especially the point in the film. It's like, okay, he can't find the tapes. He's like miserable. Like, you know, and this, you hear this kind of crazy, just crappy sax all over it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too. Like you said, I mean, it's the song appeared in the movie, like at a very low point in the movie too. You know, it just a crap, sequence in the film.
After he went to the old Justice.
Yes.
To see, you know, Harry was there, you know?
Right.
So, number 15. Okay. Yes. I knew that was coming. Number 15 for me is not Long and Winding Road, although it's not far behind. It is the 80s remake of Silly Love Songs, as in this film. Cringy, and I love the original. But man, this overproduced 80s, plus a lot of the rankings I'm basing off of my feelings on how they were portrayed on film.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah.
Not how they sound. Like, yeah, obviously this album, as one of our people said, was produced very well.
Yes.
But like this scene in the movie, my God, like just unnecessary. Spiked up hair, white makeup and crap. Some guy doing like laser jump, like hijacks or whatever.
It turned into Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Oh my God.
It was a breakdancing film in the 80s.
You know, okay. It was?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, there's some guy doing like this. Like,
yeah, exactly.
What is that crap? So he takes a classic Wings song and really just cheeses it up way worse. Then Long and Winding Road for me. Yeah. So that's why this is the lowest ranking on the album for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my number 15.
All right. Well, my 14 is Silly Love Songs. This is a perfect song, the original. No reason why he had to, again, take these liberties with the song. And the way he portrayed it in the film was even worse than the finished product with the song. It's just downright terrible what he did to this. Really, you know, awful. And I feel bad for like the members of Toto are great musicians.
There is one good moment of music in this song, that little like bass solo. That's it. And those are, is that Jeff Porcaro from Toto doing
no,
that?
No, I think that was the drums. Yeah, and the drums.
Oh, drums, Jeff Porcaro. Yeah. I forget who the bassist was. David Hungate, maybe? I forget.
Maybe.
Let me catch up with the comments here. They're flying in. Yeah. Prince's Purple Rain came out the same year. True.
Yep.
Let's see. Ziggy Stardust Part 2 in that part. Yeah. Got to remove the visual from the audio. Sorry, Joe. I can't do that.
You know, and I have been trying to rank this with that in mind. You know,
listening to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I understand. Very hard for me to do. Members of Toto on this one. Yep. Yeah. Slap bass is horrible. Tom Brennan. Susan had silly love songs at 12, but forgot about the video. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we were pretty close. Spot
so
on.
That's my 14.
Okay, my number 14 is this. That was Tom's number 15, Long and Winding Road, for all the same reasons that my co-host said. Somebody had said, would John have been on it had he lived? I doubt that. I don't think John would have had anything to do with this project.
No, if he had lived. I liked Ringo's approach when Ringo was asked about...
Was Kenneth asked, would you think John would have been in this film had he lived? I don't think so.
No,
yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
I like what Ringo said when he was asked about not, you know, performing on these on the Beatle tracks. He goes, I did it already.
Don't need to do it again. Yeah. And that's you know, it doesn't. And I really like how the director Peter Webb kind of came up with the way of how do we avoid Ringo playing on the Beatles songs? Oh, have him go looking around the studio for.
Well, we'll get to that. Yeah, right. We're going to get to that part. Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that. But that was a nice kind of convenient storytelling line to come up with.
Right.
Not playing on these tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so no, that's easily the two lowest ones. And it looks like for the most part, people out there in comment land agree,
right.
Which is cool. All right, so you're up there, partner.
Okay, 13.
Yeah, 13.
Yeah. The last track on the album, No More Lonely Nights, play out version. Again, it's just...
Oh.
What?
Good night, Princess.
Oh, I'm sorry. The second to last. Second to last. No More Lonely Nights, the playout version. Again, just like Silly Love Songs was like modernized into the 80s, this has that same feel too.
But this is its own song. This has like, it's not like he's bastardizing a classic.
No. I think he's more or less making it more modern, this is more of an 80s sounding, you know, what was popular at that time. This playout version, in my my opinion, and it just doesn't work at all. I'm going to say this a few times throughout this episode. The original was already perfect. Why do you need to play around with it more? You know, it's like Ringo redoing Back Off Boogaloo. You know, 500 times.
500 times.
You know, the first one was fine the way it is. You don't need to keep on adding your, you know, some silly idea you might have had one night and say, hey, let's do it like this. No, you don't need to do it like that. It's perfect the way it was.
So you're not a fan of the playout version as a song?
No.
Period.
No, I do not like this version at all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No.
All right. Yeah. I have it ranked low on the low end too. A little bit higher, but not much. But you feel it's just taking a good song. And
I think it's exactly.
Oh, Susan had this as her 15.
Wow. Oh, great. Thank you, Susan.
Now, Oliver says that the Queen, Kit, likes the play out.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, and maybe
you know,
we're
all entitled to our own list.
Now, Nowhere Man says that it's played over the credits. I kind of like it over the credits. I don't love this song, but I do like it over the credits.
Well, yeah, I mean, and for the movie itself, you know, that might be true. But when you're just listening to the music,
And
you don't have it in the context of the movie, you know, it's a completely different listening experience.
It is. I'm actually going to be like super geek out mode, and I actually like the mole mix, the rare mole mix, the best. There's all these crazy versions of like McCartney singles, like 15 Over the List of Soleils, and
exactly.
Like a million no one likes. I like actually the mole mix, which is kind of hard to come by and find. But if you like the playout version, go get the mole mix. I like that one the best. All right, so
13 for you.
13 for me is the CD album closer.
Oh.
Good night, Princess.
Wow. Okay. Good night, Lonely Princess.
Good night, Princess.
Well, mine says Good night, Lonely Princess.
Good night, Princess.
I don't know if you see it. You're going to see it.
Wow, cool. Golden. Wow. So that's what what it's called?
Yeah, mine says Good Night Lonely Princess. Isn't that crazy? This is a
very that I did not know that. That's pretty wild. So this is funny. This is like a throwback to the album we just talked about in our last episode, Kisses on the Bottom.
Yes.
You know, it's that kind of, you know, Paul doing that standard ballady type stuff, which I guess he wrote just to kind of play as people were leaving. He's got the play out version playing for the credits. The credits end, the lights go up, and now this comes on.
Right.
Theoretically. Does anybody know if they saw the movie in a cinema? This actually happened. I know that was the intention, but I've never read any account. This is actually what happened.
What? The song being played as the entry?
This song being played as people leave.
As people leave. I see what you're saying. Okay.
That was if you read Paul, that was the intent behind this song.
Okay.
Because the track opens up. That's it. Thank you for joining us. And then people leave. So
no, and it makes sense. It's a good closing piece in that way.
Yeah. All right. So our resident in-house Broad Street expert, Ed, says the original CD, which you have, says it's incorrect. The title is incorrectly listed. So that's a
great.
That's valuable. Hold on.
I'm going to hold on to this one.
Yeah. Kevin, I think you guys have touched on the whole problem with this album. Redoing too many things. I would just say with a couple of exceptions, the original was the better version. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah. Nice track, but it doesn't really go anywhere. And I actually didn't know this until like the CD, because I grew up with the vinyl version of this album, which was very edited.
Yeah, didn't have it. Yeah.
Didn't have this. So I didn't know this song until way later. But I was like, oh, this is on there. So, but again, you read those, if you read the album, it says, you know, these longer versions of this available on cassette, which Tom showed you before. Yeah. Is it on there too, Tom?
It sure is.
There you go. So,
yeah, and that's funny because on the cassette, it doesn't say. It's actually kind of like a hidden track on the cassette.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, let's see. Joe Mayo couldn't recall anything about his cinema experience. Yeah, because Joe, I would have seen this for sure. And he doesn't recall this being in there.
It was that good.
Yeah. Susan likes Goodnight Princess. It's her number 4. Wow.
Hey. Nice.
Very cool.
Good taste, Susan.
Like seeing it. Yeah, that means Tom has it higher too. Our in-house artist, Ethan, has chimed in. An album so mediocre, they couldn't even be bothered to keep the track list consistent between releases. Good point.
Yes.
Good point. Ed Crawford says, I think Jim McCartney would have liked this song. He definitely
would. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Jim Mack would have approved of this. But that's my number 13. So you're up, brother.
All right. Number 12 for me is I Know. I Know.
Listen, this keeps up on me and lunch before another Boxing Day.
Having the soundtrack and not seeing the movie, I always thought when that part came on, I thought that was Ringo. Because it sounds, in my opinion, it sounded a lot like Ringo. And I knew that, you know, that he performed on the soundtrack and in the movie. But Good Day Sunshine / music, you know, is my 12. And again, I'm not a big fan of his vocals on this one. Again, he's just being another, adding, you know, whatever, 18, 19 years or whatever it was to his vocals on these songs. I just don't think they enhance the...
Especially on this one. His voice is like too, especially like in the chorus, the Good Day Sunshine.
Right. That
sounds too robotic. Now, his delivery in the verses here isn't bad.
No.
But that whole, it just sounds too... It sounds way overproduced, and he's never going to match the 66.
No, he'll never match. No, he'll never match. But so, yeah, I mean, that's like, so what's, that's my second least favorite cover of a Beatles track that he does on this one. So
Right.
Yeah.
Nowhere Man. Awful version of Good Day Sunshine. So wimpy, said Nowhere Man. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no oomph to it or balls or whatever.
Right, it's like, isn't this the scene where he whizzes past the old ladies, right?
Too? Yes, yep.
Mm-hmm. In the beginning of the film. Kevin has For No One at 12, so pointless, such a great song, but not really used to the full effect. The new recording was once again unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an opinion on that one.
I'm going to disagree with that one a little bit.
I've got a different opinion on that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Bill Leary sounds like a step above Beatlemania. Yeah, I'm sure it does. So this was your 12.
Yeah, that was my 12, buddy.
All right. My 12 is a McCartney original, which might surprise some people.
Wow.
Yeah, and that
he
is...
He just had a McCartney original, too.
I mean, not a Beatles song. Okay. Come on. No Values is is my number 12. Out of the original songs that were done for this album and film,
right,
this is the least favorite of all mine on here.
Okay.
I enjoy Not Such a Bad Boy way better. Mm-hmm. This one's okay. This one I don't like because it kind of trails off into that kind of bluesy dream thing and it just stops.
That's one of my favorite parts.
You know, don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah, don't do it. Don't. How about don't play it? How about that?
Right.
So, good riff. You know, No Values. You know what? It doesn't really do a whole lot for me. So,
yeah.
That's why I have No Values at 12.
Yeah.
Andy, come on. Sorry, Joe. Told you.
Oh, all right. 11 for me is I'm just really surprised that they just didn't put these two together because it's going to be my 11 and 10. But I'm starting off with Yesterday.
Okay, here we go.
You know, yeah, really shorter version, you know, like $1.43.
Yes.
And, you know, there's kind of got like an echo effect on his vocals that I'm not really keen on. And again, it's
you don't like the echo.
No, I do not like the vocal. Yeah, the echo effect on his vocals at all. Again, perfection already. You know, there's just a few songs that he just shouldn't have touched. I mean, he was smart not to touch like Let It Be or Hey Jude or, you know, songs like that. You know, why'd you have to touch this one?
I think Hey Jude was floated out there to be a part of this film at some point. I do remember him discussing that in interviews and stuff. And thankfully that was left out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That Shadow Productions is in there. Hello, Shadow.
Shadow.
Let's see. Okay. Yep. Now, coming ready, Gary, that's funny. All right, so this was your
11. Yeah.
11. Yeah. All right, my 11 is the playout version of No More Lonely Nights that Tom talked about before.
Right.
Strictly for where it is in the film. I like, you've watched the film, and it's like, okay, I'm going to hear this song again, but I'm going to hear it in a new way.
Right.
And is it full of those 80s pastiches of production? Yeah. And is it ruining already a classic song? To your point, yes, I agree. But in the context of watching the credits, I like it. You know, that's how I like it. You know, Kevin says 18,000 covers of Yesterday. Why can't Paul do one of them? Nathan likes that version of Yesterday.
Okay, fair enough. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's only the most covered song in the history
ever.
Of songs.
Ethan says, I have a wrench next to my name, and I have no idea what that means. What that means there, dear friend, it means that if there's any blue meanies that pop into the chat, you can tell them bye-bye. yeah. So.
Okay, so the playout version was my
number 11. We are into the top 10.
Okay. The next track that follows that, Here, There, and Everywhere. Again, it's just, you know, those two songs together. I know they're together in the movie as well, but with Ringo, like we talked about it, you know, he was, you know, dangling the drum. He couldn't find the drums or whatever. I mean, his drumsticks. Again, with the vocal, with the echo effect on it, I just don't, you know, care for it. And then plus he changes the one, you know, one little lyric there.
Which,
you know?
Which I think Tom Brennan just mentioned here too. He doesn't like the lyric change. I need a little.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? Which, to your point, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about that before we went live. You know, just changing it. You know, just that little bit just gives it a completely different feel to the song. It's almost like when he changes the lyric in the Christmas song. You know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. He changes. He takes, I think, the turkey out.
Right.
Just gives it a whole nother feel, you know.
Oliver, I'm not a blue meanie. We know you're not a blue meanie, Oliver. Never said you were. We're just, it's there in case, you know. Ethan's our protector, so he watches out for us. That's all. Yeah. So, all right. So you had that. And you had Here, There, and Everywhere as 10. All right. So now All right, so I'm going to go to number 10. Interesting. So the next I'm going to cheat a little bit here. My 10 through 6 are all the Beatles songs. I have them grouped in together here.
Oh wow.
I have them all sandwiched together.
Okay.
My 6 through 10 are all the cover songs on the album, and I lumped them in there for a reason. Now number 10, again, Yesterday, shorter version. I do like the vocal effect on it.
Right.
And I'm a big fan of the medley as a whole in the film anyway. I think it's one of the best parts of the film, really. It's the one I watch the most. I love the medley, though, you know, Yesterday, Here, There, and Right into Wanderlust. Tom Brennan, Turkey, not Holly.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Echo. I love the Beatles' second album, She's a Woman, with all those Capitol Records. Echo. Yes, that was the reverb added on there by, of course, Mr. Dave Dexter Jr., who programmed all those early wonderful Capitol albums with all that extra heavy reverb. And I, too, Music Sound Gear, I'm a fan of those early Capitols with just drenched in all those and that echo, you know, which, you know, a purist would say, you know, blasphemous for, because it's not what the Beatles originally intended, but that's what we like. So Yesterday's my number 10. No rhyme, no reason, but the next groupings are all going to be the Beatles cover songs for me, for Broad Street. So, Thomas, you're at number 9.
9, okay. Continuing on with the running track order right after Here, There, and Everywhere is Wanderlust.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this version, I love the song. I absolutely love the song, but again,
What do you like about this version?
Again,
what?
I don't think his vocals are anywhere near as good as they are on Tug of War. That's why. I don't, you know, and that's why I put it down as low as I did. I mean, one, it was a song he didn't need to redo for this movie.
The only reason we have a video performance of Wanderlust, that for that reason, sure, it goes up on a pedestal.
If you're ranking the movie, I'll give you that. But again, ranking to the songs on the CD,
it's not nearly as powerful as Tug of War.
It does not, nowhere near as powerful. No,
it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not his vocal delivery on the original on Tug of War is a slam dunk.
Yeah, like if you're gonna take Broad Street and you're gonna like watch it like you would Magical Mystery Tour just for the song performances, you know what I mean? Then yeah,
Tom Brennan, I gotta cut you off, but Tom, drop your headphones, Andy. Wanderlust is my number 2. I'm not gonna lie, I almost was gonna do this.
Right,
I didn't, but. No, because and I knew that Tom wasn't keen on the this version.
Right.
For that, just because it's hard to compare. But again, I have a hard time separating the film. But again, if you're just listening to it, if you're listening to this, you're like, oh man, Tug of War's version is way better than this.
Yeah, exactly. But
when you watch him sing it, it takes
completely different. Completely different.
You're seeing the scenes cut to George Martin mixing it, and you've got Jeff Emmerich there.
Jeff Emmerich. Right.
Boom. That song. In a visual context, shoots. I can't separate, the video and all. For that reason alone, it's way higher on my list. But I respect why you have it at 9, because it's just comparing the two is not even close.
Right.
Let's catch up on comments here. Oliver says Wanderlust is not even a good song. Ethan. Oh. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh man.
Susan had Wanderlust at 8. She agrees with Tom. The original is so much better. So, yeah. As does James Boyce.
Thank you, James.
Yeah. All the covers on this album were weaker than the originals. Fair point, Christian. Yeah.
There's some value, though, to some of these covers, which if I do think there's something great about them, I will say what I really like about it. And there's a couple coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Joe says Wanderlust is one of the best on here. Joe, see, Joe, I knew we'd come back full circle. No, you're gonna like where I have Wanderlust. I'm telling you, just hang tight.
Yeah.
Okay. So, number 9 for me is, I believe, which was Tom's number. I want to say 12 was the Good Day Sunshine Corridor music. Yeah. Again, for the same reasons, it's just it's okay.
And if our boy Hudson is watching, who now has the I know Beatles podcast, that would be like a really cool, you know, intro that he could turn into something for his show. Like I know
that is a good idea. Hey, Hudson, if you're watching, take Tom's idea and run with it and use that as the intro of your show.
Right.
It's, yeah, good. This, it, I mean, just, it's like, you know, it's like, why?
Right.
Okay.
No, it works because, you know, for soundtracks, they'll generally sometimes will put in a little talking clip here and there from the movie, you know, okay. which I don't mind. I think sometimes it enhances the soundtrack.
Yeah, it does, but not in this case. Mm. And this here's one case where just, you know, this one doesn't even touch the original. And
right.
Exactly. Christian Dahl, wave the sword, coming up. It's coming up. Oh man. Yes, that's number 9 for me. The good day sunshine.
Okay.
Hard on music. Number 8 for Mr. Hunyadi.
For me? Okay. Go ahead and start waving that sword.
ballroom.
Ballroom dance and the big BD. Listen, the only thing I like about this cover is the kick-ass guitar solo towards the end. It has got a great, great guitar solo, and I think that's Spedding that's doing the guitar solo on that. And man, that is taking a song, redoing a song, and then adding some value to it, which I think now the waving the sword bit, because you know it's going
that adds value, movie. Man. That adds value. Wave the sword,
right? Because this, he does that in the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's it, kids.
Yeah, exactly.
But now this, so you will, would you rate this version?
I still wouldn't rank it as high as the Tug of War version. No.
You would not.
But, no. But I'll tell you what, I do dig.
It's a fun song in the movie.
No, exactly. It's a fun. I mean, kind of a ripoff on Grease, maybe. You know, a little bit. I don't know. But the Chris Spedding guitar solo is really kick ass. Really good. Yeah,
it is. You know, and it's you know, a lot of somebody commented here that's one of the high points of the film.
Maybe.
You know.
I mean, if you ask the guys from Eight Arms to Hold You, they'll say it's one of the low points.
Chip, I know with Chip and Mark probably can detest it.
Yeah.
Kevin says, I always thought ballroom dancing was pretty close in quality to Tug of War version, so right. Ballroom dancing made it number 6 on that. James Boyce, he should have waved the sword in the editing room. Oh man. Tom Brennan, this version of ballroom dancing is better. The Tug of War version sounds flat in comparison.
Fair.
Yeah. I have to admit, as a younger fan in growing up, I always went back to this one more. This, not Wanderlust, but this one. Again for that. But all right, so this was ballroom dancing was your number 8?
Yes.
Okay. My number 8, right? Or no. Where are we at? I lost count.
We're 8 for me?
No.
Yeah, you're at 8. Yeah, you're
8. 8 for me. Okay, sorry. Ethan cracks me up. Number 8 for me is Eleanor Rigby and Eleanor's Dream. All 9 minutes and 9 seconds of it. There's a lot of people out there that hate, in our post talking about this episode, a lot of people said that they liked Eleanor Rigby, but they hate the dream sequence. I think that might have been Joe, but it just drags on too long. And it does a little bit.
Yep.
It's probably one of the low points of the movie, like that whole dream sequence.
Yep.
It is rough.
Yep.
But I'm going to kind of do a 180 here and kind of go more audio and not visual.
Very good.
On this, I can do it. Right. I like it. I drove around today, going to the stores and stuff, and I was just getting ready for this. And I listened to the whole thing, and it was pleasant. Now, the visual aspect of this is not that really entertaining at all. I really like how Paul sings it. I think it's good. And I enjoy the dream portion. Mm. You know, you're hearing the elements of No More Lonely Nights repeated throughout that, which are really cool. The tension in it. I really, really like Eleanor's Dream. Wow, Music Sound Gear. This is his number 1. Wow.
Great.
Damn.
Love it.
Yeah. Oliver says it's the horrible track. Yeah. Robert says it's too long. It is long. But it's a nice piece of music.
Oliver, I'm curious. Oliver, can you let us know how old you are, if you don't mind. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. Christian says Eleanor's long nightmare.
Wow. Damn. Wow.
Gary says, if I think of Eleanor's Dream as the Revolution 9 of the album, it actually shines.
I like that.
That's cool.
Right.
Joe says the dream sequence makes him ill.
Right.
He will do a reverse and let the film segment affect it. Well, Ed Crawford would have gotten something from Broad Street. He says he would have gotten rid of the Eleanor sequence. Ed, don't you love every second of this film? Wow. Surprising. Susan thinks it's way too long, and Susan had this at 14.
Okay.
And okay. So again, this one's all over the place. It's
yeah.
People have it high. Somebody has it at one. Somebody has it really low. Interesting. And the length is an issue for some people. It's just so. But I like it. So that's my number eight. You're up number seven.
Number seven for me is Eleanor Rigby, Eleanor's Dream.
I like when we do that. I like when we roll into the ones like that because we can continue. Go.
Now, I'll tell you what, this song is more enjoyable if you're not watching the movie. Now, yes, that whole Eleanor Dreams part in the movie is just, I mean, it's one of the low points for me in the movie, and it's shite, you know, and it's, I think it's really bad. However, once it gets to the instrumental part of the, you know, once Eleanor Dreams starts, I totally love it. There's a really good classical guitar playing, you know, in their little segment that I think is absolutely beautiful. And yeah, I mean, and I kind of like
that acoustical piece,
yes,
right?
Love it. Yeah, great. And then there's, you know, like you said, it incorporates, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, you can hear a woman singing faintly in the background saying, where do they come from?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, it incorporates did you say No More Lonely Nights? It has a little bit in there.
A little bit of it is repeated in there. Yeah,
but it's really good. And I think if you listen to it without watching the movie, I think people could enjoy it more, you know, without seeing it, you know, and during this really boring moment of the movie, you know.
Because it just goes on and on and on in a visual sense, yeah.
And I don't mind longer classical pieces as long as I find it interesting, and it changes so much. There's, you know, you got the, you know, the classical part, you got an acoustic part, you know, and you got a lot of different things going on, which again, you know, McCartney giving us layers, you know, in these songs, and then, you know, also challenging us as listeners to, you know, find bits and pieces.
That's where you can appreciate it as a listener, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and then you think the dog's barking, you know, and then you hear that. So lots of Eleanor, you know, and it ends so nicely with the piano.
I think so.
Ding 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 ding, and then it takes you back out. So yeah, I mean, it's not everybody's cup of tea. I get it. It's haunting in a good way, said Music Sound Gear.
I think Tom
and I are on the same page with this track for sure.
Absolutely.
Cool. So that was your number seven.
Seven. Yeah.
Very cool to see that rank very high. Number seven for me, as again, all these next couple, they're all bunched together because they're the covers, and that's Here, There, and Everywhere. I looked at this and I said, you know what? There's other songs that I'm going to rank. My top five are going to be my top five. My ones that I don't like are going to be there. And in the middle, I'm going to put the Beatle tracks. And that was kind of my rhyme or reason how I did my ranking.
Right.
I sandwiched all the Beatles stuff in the middle of the rankings. And then I just ranked them based on how I like them.
Okay.
And crummy of him to, you know, really skimp out on the verses here a little bit.
Right.
Do it or don't do it.
Right.
You know, don't half-ass it. But again, the production of this, I like the echo on this whole part.
Oh, you
of
do?
It. I do.
Okay.
More echo. More.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Tom Brennan for No One is his number seven. The new arrangement's nice, but it's the best of all the Beatle remakes. Yeah, and I feel too. But that's I have it ranked sandwiched in the middle because we're getting towards the upper echelon now of the tracks. Mm-hmm. So that's where it is.
Okay. Six for me, and Tom Brennan just stole my thunder. You know, absolutely. For me, the best cover, Beatles cover, that he does on this album is For No One. I think I think vocally it's the best of the bunch, and yeah, and the arrangement is really good. So For No One is my number six. Yeah,
mine too, man. This is my six. All this is my sis. We're on the same page here,
right?
This is my number six too. This is the best cover that he's done of his own music
on this album. Yeah,
on this album. Yeah. This is a case where understated production, less is more.
Yeah, oh, of course. Yeah,
a little bit of strings, which probably was the Philip Jones Brass Ensemble, which he used a lot in this period. He used a lot of the Philip Jones Brass people on Tug of War,
right?
And this film, and they're actually in the film,
right?
When you see them doing this, warming up. And he plays on an acoustic guitar, which is cool because, of course, the original, as we know, on Revolver is just the piano.
Right.
So you're hearing this in a simple way, in a different way. And I totally agree with my partner there. I think it's a perfect cover version, probably one of the best.
And I think the more mature vocal from Paul, I think, really enhances this cover as well. You know, you got a little bit of an older voice from
older.
Paul.
He's older now. Yeah.
And I think it really works for that song.
Yeah. Gary has a comment here. Sorry to repeat, but I think we have to consider that maybe he wasn't out to make a better version of those songs, just wanted to allow a glimpse of him performing songs that he himself loved.
Fair point. Okay.
So he wasn't out there doing bonafide covers, just going to give you a little glimpse.
A little taste, maybe. Yeah.
So maybe that's why you got a little bit of yesterday.
Here's a guy that's, you know, in the movie, you know, he's going over his pretty much his whole career. So, I mean, the fictional character, I mean, so if these were his songs, then yeah, I mean, he's going to perform them while he's, you know, on a radio show or what, you know, whatever he's doing in the movie. I mean, I can understand it in the movie because that's what the movie is about, you know, in a way, you know, it's him,
right,
you know, doing his songs, you know.
The guy from the BBC asked him, so what are we doing? For No One. Lovely. No one. At the BBC, one of the BBC houses. So let's see. The Beatles remakes would have been fine if Paul sounded like he did back then. Well,
okay.
But interesting, you and I both had that as the highest.
I like it. Great.
Yeah, cool. All right, you're up.
Okay.
Top five time.
The album closer, Goodnight Princess. I really appreciate what he's doing here. I really like when it's being played in the movie, when he went to go see the old man about the box, Sir Ralph Richardson. And I really dig that his kind of like spoken word part at the beginning of the show, you know, thanking everyone, you know, I really appreciate that. And I think this was a really kind of like a sign of, you know, things to come for Paul, you know, with, you know, kind of like, you know, the kisses on the bottom stuff. We know he's always appreciated this kind of stuff, and we've always got like little glimpses of it, you know, in throughout his solo career.
Sure.
You know, and I think this is one of the better ones. I really like Goodnight Princess. I really like
you
it a
like
lot.
It on its own, not
yeah,
any-
I like it's on its own. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Susan loves that ranking. She's a big fan. Yes, Tom, she says so. Yeah. Yeah. So you guys have that one in common. That's cool. Music said, don't forget about the Tracy Ullman video where Paul makes a cameo in the car.
That's right. They don't care about us. I remember watching that many times on MTV back in the early 80s. Love it. Yeah, well, that was kind of like a favorite, you know, because Tracy Ullman was in the movie.
She was in there, yes.
Yeah.
Playing the role of Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool.
Who said that?
That was Music Sound Gear.
Right on, Music. Right on.
Yeah, that was cool. Yep. So that was your number five. Goodnight Princess, number five for Tom.
Yes.
Wow. Yep. All right. My number five. And man, I wanted to rank this higher, but I who knows? I changed the list five times, but it's probably one of my favorite songs of all time of him. And that's Not Such a Bad Boy.
Ah, okay. Wow.
Yeah. This is number five for me. And I have covers. I have obviously some of his own covers ranked a little bit higher. Not the Beatle ones, because we're done with those now for me.
Yes.
I love that. So this is, again, great video for this, this part of the film. You know, they're getting there, they're trying to get the bootleg guy around and there at that point in the movie. And Great playing from Spedding's on this. And
yes. Oh, so no. The guy from, not Dave, Dave Edmonds.
Dave Edmonds is on this too.
Yes.
But so was, I think, Spedding too, right?
Spedding, Edmonds, Ringo, Linda, and Paul. Now, if you're going to go on a tour, this would have been a great band to go out on tour with.
Right. And don't forget, on percussion, Jody Lynn Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah,
true.
Jody Lynn Scott on percussion.
So that's right.
Played with a million people. The Who,
yes,
for them. Man, this is one of the best. This, as Tom pointed, this would have been a great song to tour.
Yeah.
Great
touring band. This would have been a great touring band, in my opinion.
Yeah, Joe. This Joe has this as his one or two. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Joe. I'm with you. If I didn't have the other stuff from the film ranked higher, I would have.
I mean, I guess we can safely agree that we're gonna have the same number one.
Absolutely. That's not everybody's number one. I mean, well, listen.
Well, I think a couple people didn't have it at number one. Maybe. I don't remember. I got to go back and look. But
okay. Not such a bad boy. Great playing on a percussion, right. Everything. Just a great rocker. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
For a mid 80s. You didn't
get a lot of rockers from Paul in the 80s.
No. And this is a great example of this.
Right.
So, Tom Brennan has it as three. So, all right. So that was very my cool. number. That was my number five. Number four for you, sir.
Okay. My number four for me is So Bad. Now, this is of all the remakes he does on this album, this is my favorite. This used to be my go-to between the two. Only because, you know, the difference I was kind of listening to, the differences on this one is you can hear a little bit more guitar strumming, electric guitar strumming on this version than you can from the Pipes of Peace version. And I think he's only a year removed from when he did it with, you know, on Pipes of Peace. So the vocals aren't really, you know, that noticeably different, you know, if there's any difference in the vocal, you know, singing on this one. But it's still a beautiful song. It'll all be always be one of my favorite McCartney ballads, you know. So even if you know, and I love the what's her name that we talked about, she did it in 2001 with Paul,
Lindsay Pagano.
Yeah, thank you, Lindsay Pagano. Yeah, I even like her version. She does a really good, but his falsetto is great. You know, his falsetto is really good on this.
Yeah, one. I'm with you, brother. This version's ahead of the Pipes of Peace version for me too. Chris Spedding said, Nowhere Man says that. Chris Spedding said that in between takes, this band played just old rock and roll tunes and they were never recorded. Why?
I can see that. I can see that. I mean, I can see them jamming. I mean, that would be, it would be very cool if they did record that. Now, however, I did reach out to Chris Spedding too to see if he can ever, I haven't heard back from him yet, but.
Music Sound Gear says, I still hate So Bad. I have it at 13. Wow. To each his own, James Boyce says, did Back to the Egg's relative failure stop Paul rocking out in the 80s?
It's possible.
Very possible. Very possible.
But I mean, some of his bigger hits in the 70s were rockers, you know? So.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Gary with a great comment here. I love watching and hearing him play his Rick during those songs. The Rickenbacker.
Oh, yeah.
The Rickenbacker bass, man, that I just wish he would still keep playing because he gets such a great sound on it.
It's too heavy, you know? He's got to go with that lightweight bass.
So he's got more money than God. Make a lightweight Rick. Come on, man. That Rickenbacker that he played had such a great sound on it.
I agree.
And on this,
yeah,
man, and you really hear it. Boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
You just hear it.
Susan has it
at 9. Okay. Ed has it at 7. Kevin has it at 4.
Oh.
Okay. What can you say about it? So, number four?
Yeah, now you're 4. Yep.
All right, number four, listen, get those swords ready because I'm waving them. Wave the swords. Wave them.
Right.
And again, I'm going to go back to the visual aspect, not the audio.
Right.
I like it. I can't separate film and sound. I can with that one track, but not with the rest of them. This to me is I just can't for this one. For everything that goes into the scene. Plus, like, it's such a big part of the movie. You see them, you see him on the piano working on it with the kids in the beginning.
Yeah,
and
then he's in the crane, you know, the director's chair, he's going all over. Yeah.
One, two, three. So, I mean, Tom and I have already, you know, we talked about it on Tug of War. Tom talked about it on his, why he had it high. To me, it's one of the strongest points of the album and the film. This and Tug of War, again, you got the great guitar solo that Tom mentioned on this, which is not existent on the Tug of War version,
right?
Which makes this song even better than what it was is. So that's, I mean, it's, to me, it's one of the, it's one of the high points of Give My Regards to Broad Street.
Mm-hmm.
So
agreed.
That's number four.
Okay. Great.
Top three.
Yeah. My three starts with the, you know, the, all the new originals. I'm going with No Values. Okay. Of the two rockers that are on the album, No Values is my number three. Good Rocker, just still not as good as the other
not
one.
Not such a bad. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Same band as Not Such a Bad Boy. You know, you got Spedding, you got Edmonds, Ringo, Paul, and then Linda, and then who was the percussionist?
Jody Lynn Scott.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah, great band. I love the No Values part of it. The verses are a little weak in my opinion, but the chorus I think is great.
Okay, you know, you like that?
Yeah, I do. But again, you know, I'm so excited when I hear No Values and Not Such a Bad Boy, because again, we didn't get those rockers from Paul in the 80s, you know,
or he left them elbowed like I Love This House.
He didn't exactly. He left them
unreleased like I Love This House. Which is from the same period, really.
Again, which is a shame because you got a wonderful Gilmore and Dave Maddox on that track, you know.
Yeah, but this is of that same ilk, you know. Right. these rockers, and maybe, you know, he might have, Ed Crawford, like your ranking for this.
Right.
Maybe there was a part of him that thought, okay, a guy in his mid-40s rocking out like this is a little bit of an old thing.
Well, I mean, a lot of his peers were at, you know, at the same age were still rocking out, you know.
And they still are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I
mean, you know, Gary says, great sprawling solo in the film on No Values.
Mm.
Which is cut way down low on the LP.
Right.
Solo. Okay. Mm. You know? Mayo says, you might as well go all the way and sell your granny to the zoo. Yeah.
This is the one where it kind of had you know, them going into a little bluesy route, where then Paul just like, sorry, you know,
yeah,
let's take a break, you know.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked where he was going with that little bluesy, you know, guitar riff there at the end.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
James Boy says the new rockers are a relief from the 80s polish on a lot of the album. Okay.
Yeah, I can.
We like the 80s polish too, as we're going to get to it with our number one. I mean, come on. That's like Let It Be status for Tom and I. So
yeah,
it really is. I mean, is it not?
It's we'll save more comments to that when we get there.
But that's all right. Yeah. So that was your three?
Yeah.
Okay, so my three is the aforementioned So Bad. All the reasons that my buddy here said. But especially the Rickenbacker playing, because you can really hear the difference. It's more prominent on this version.
Right. No, I think so.
It just is. And again, you know, I think this video version in the film is better than the formal video for Pipes of Peace.
I think it was Eric Stewart's only appearance in the movie was for this.
Just for this song, right?
Yeah, it was just for the song.
This is, again, I know people, it's middle of the road for a lot of people watching, but Tom and I clearly have a soft spot for So Bad, and I'm with him on, you know, step for step on why we haven't ranked, and I agree with him totally on that. So that's my number three.
Yeah.
Great. Number two.
Number two, the other rocker, Not Such a Bad Boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah, totally. I was listening to it a couple times today at work, you know, kind of, you know, cranking that up again. Again, you know, Paul is so good at rock and roll. And you know, just, you, like you said, it just felt like he just left it behind. You know, could have been because of the failure of Back to the Egg. Who knows? But man, it's a damn shame that he just didn't do more like this in the 80s, you know?
Because there was, I mean... He's good at it, and this is,
yeah, he's,
you know,
great at it.
You know,
I mean, that's his bread and butter, really, is rock and roll.
That's what it is, you know. Oh, this song is so good, though.
Yeah. It's such a and the band, again, the band is killer. It would have been a great touring band. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I laughed at the teachers that taught my school. Just, But there you go, Mayo. Followed the leader into a tent, but nobody told me that she owed someone. Yeah. Which, again, somebody could interpret as Paul being lazy with his writing.
Yeah, it's kind of junior farmish.
I was just going to say that. This is very junior farmish, you know.
Right.
Bag of cement for the president. Same
exactly.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So again, somebody super critical of Paul, not Tom or I, would take offense to that.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. He makes it sound good.
Yes.
I would buy 10 copies, and Tom would, of him reading Webster's Dictionary in all different formats. We would, if he was singing it. He was singing.
Well, I mean, if the covers were different color,
we'd buy it. And I'm sure most of you would buy it too. So lyrics like "Follow the Leader to a Tent," it sounds good. It just sounds good.
It sounds good when he's singing it in a rock voice.
Right.
No.
So this is a great choice, brother. You know.
Yeah.
Let's see. That's music. Yeah, this was his number two as well. Gary says it reminds him a little bit of "Move Over, Busker," which we'll talk about.
Exactly.
Next.
Again,
we'll,
you know those.
We'll talk about that next week. Ethan Alexander.
A little nonsensical lyrics, you know? Yes, exactly. Move Over, Busker. Very good. Very good.
Kevin, I love these lyrics. If John had written them, people would think it's profound.
Oh, they would praise Lennon, you know?
Here we go with the age-old problem. Here we go. It's just, you know, easy Joe.
Listen.
Easy Joe.
No, listen, honestly, though, Lennon was very talented at doing those kind of nonsensical lyrics, you know.
Yes.
I mean, I "Dig a Pony," one of my favorite Beatles songs. I mean, what the hell does it mean? You know,
nothing,
you know.
Oh, Adam joined us late tonight. Hi, Adam.
What's going on, buddy?
Thank you. Buzz, very, very, that's cool. That's a very cool observation. So that is your number two, man.
Yes.
Okay, great. Listen, can't argue with that, brother. Yeah. My number two, Wanderlust. Yeah.
Fair.
Tom had it, I believe, at 9.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Music Sound Gear, romantic cover of YouTube for Press to Play. Nope, not happening. Not happening.
Everybody wants that.
Not
everybody.
Happening. Not happening.
Listen, our art director has already been warned.
Yes, and he's been, he knows. He's already, he's been put on it. But Wanderlust for me, as we talked about, if you watched our Broad Street, our Tug of War episode, Tom and I both love this song a lot.
Yep.
I like the Broad Street version. And again, this ranking for me is much more about the fact that we have a video of him doing Wanderlust.
Fair.
Vocally, Tug of War version is stronger. I have to agree with Tom. It is. But I like, again, the slight echo drench on this. And then his delivery, especially toward the end of the song, when it gets into the counter medley, the counter medley part.
Yep.
I think that part of this, and then you got Ringo, doing the drumming on it.
Yes.
Because the echo, you hear the echo more on this version than you do in the Tug of War version.
Okay.
And I just like it.
There's some good stuff out there that has echo. Like I think of Simon and Garfunkel. When I think of echoey kind of music, I think of Simon and Garfunkel. You know, in a way, because they utilize a lot of that echo,
a lot of their stuff. Yeah. Here's what sells it for me with Wando is this point right here, just at the end here,
right.
Towards the end.
Yeah, fair. Yeah,
I'm done. I'm like, I could die and go to heaven. I could listen to those 10 seconds over and over and over again.
Right.
But that's me. So James Boyce had it at number two.
Excellent.
Winner.
Excellent. Excellent. Does the subject matter of the story behind Wanderlust ruin the song for you in any way?
No shot.
Yeah.
He could be singing about the sky, the sky is falling. And as long as it had that.
Because the song is kind of drug related in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, it's such a, it's so toned down, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Apart from the captain says there'll be a bust.
Bust.
If
right.
you don't know, if you don't know the backstory.
Exactly.
Then yeah. it doesn't really, you know, the captain said yeah. there'll be a bust. So right. Gary says he finds Ringo's drums overgated for, but he loves Wanderlust. Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I like the drumming on that.
Great.
Jacob Blair, I'm just wondering, why do people talk about Press to Play album cover and warn Ethan about it? Well, then you've got to know the Press to Play album cover to know why. Right.
Well, no, he's thinking that, no, because we're warning Ethan, because Ethan does our thumbnails that you'll see on like Instagram and Facebook and Twitter if you follow us there. So Ethan, you know, does that for us, and he incorporates our images on the albums for us every week. And so everybody kind of now wants Ethan to incorporate our faces onto Paul and Linda. For the Press to Play album, and it's just not going to happen.
No. Music Sound Gear, Andy and Tom, thanks for this podcast. I haven't talked Beatles and solo records with friends for over 20 years. This is fun. Oh, I look forward to it weekly. Thank you.
That's a great compliment, and I mean that's really, really heartfelt. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary Craven. Agree, Andy. Those 10 seconds on the album version are next level. Thank you. Yeah. Somebody who gets it.
Yes. Yeah.
Joe's too bad. Knowing the meaning of the great Wanderlust, same as Got to Get You Into My Life. Fair.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. So that leaves us with our number one, which we both know what it's going to be.
Listen, this for me, this is the crowning achievement. I mean, if Maybe I'm Amazed was his crowning achievement in the 70s, then No More Lonely Nights to me is his crowning achievement in the 80s. I don't think he's got any better on a vocal. I think this is probably my favorite vocal from Paul on an 80s track, even though there's so many more that other songs that I love his vocals on, like Wanderlust, Take It Away, So Bad. I mean, I even really like his vocals on Spies Like Us, but this, I think this is the crowning achievement of the 80s for me, for Paul. And it's a damn shame that it wasn't a number one either here or in the UK. You know, so this is, I mean, it has everything here. And you know, and then my God, the Gilmore solo on this song, you know, you get two really good Gilmore bits on this track. And it's just... it's beautiful. It just blows you away.
The build up, the high note, but I feel. Yes. I mean,
I love the video. The video to this is really cool. Oh. I love it when he's in the projector room and you get the cat, you know, and you know,
and he does a little whistle.
Exactly. Yes, and he's a little stirring the tea, and you know, and goes out on the roof, and then all of a sudden you get. I can wait another day.
How does that not set the mood?
Right, exactly.
I don't
think that this song was utilized to its potential in the movie. I was really disappointed to where this were. I don't think.
Or just putting it at the end of the movie was not a good
choice. Yeah, exactly. Because wasn't he on the train by the train tracks?
At the end of the film when
after
your favorite song was played.
Right, exactly. Right. So yeah, he's up there. He's desperate. Does the song? I don't think it does the film or the song any justice where it is in the movie.
No, because it almost gets buried.
Exactly. Know? Right. Yeah.
And if the song had been earlier in the film, maybe more of a lasting impact. I think if he was touring at the time, this song would have had a little more staying power, and it would have stayed in his repertoire over the last 40 years. But he clearly wasn't. And you know, that's why it kind of it died on the vine a little bit.
But look, I mean, you got to think too of what he's going against at that time. You know, Prince, Jackson, Madonna. Phil Collins is hotter than hot. You know, so you know,
it's
a lot of competition back then. Police were hot still too. You know,
yeah, they put probably one of the best. I mean, like everything about this song, but you know. But the whole, you know, I won't go away until you tell me so. I mean, that bridge is just phenomenal. And the tension that's built out throughout this song. Yeah. You know, Linda, it's just, you know. And again, that's what people said. Some people have chimed in and shared. They should have been played live on 8990, which I know you always say.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Would have been brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know. And I think a couple of years ago, somebody did it. He was at a concert and some artist did a version of this at a show he was at. I forget, a modern a modern artist did. And I know he was impressed with it. Side fact, if you've never seen on YouTube, I think it's the South Bank Show. It's all about the making of this film.
Right.
And you can see the genesis of where the entire story of the film and this song all derived from the little bass. Yeah, there's a story. It's not that great, but it all arrived from the little bass riff that he just got on the bass guitar.
Yeah. Boom, boom,
boom. And you see him and George Martin working on it and hammering it out on the piano.
Yep.
Check it out on YouTube. It's the South Bank Show documentary on Broad Street, which I'm hoping we'll get in that super deluxe box set of this. But it's a really nice look back at this whole period of the film. And he's got that weird hair thing going on, though, in the documentary. Yeah. It's like part of the wrong way, you know. Yeah.
I do like that little bass bit before the song starts. You know, really good.
That was the whole, that was the genesis of the entire song on that little riff, which turned into this wonderful song, which, you know, like in some of like a lot of Paul songs, they have a really long jam at the end of it. And here's Gilmore, you know, taking it out. I mean, this is up there. I mean, it just, I just wish we could have gotten it live, you know? Adam, we've seen the Broad Street movie. You're late to the game, guys.
Yes, we have.
Christian's Alison Krauss did the version. Yes. Thank you, James. I knew somebody did a version in front of Paul and saw that there too. Mm. It's no, you know, I mean, who I would think, do you know, he maybe enough time has passed where he can revisit this in a kind of archive way and say, okay, you know what, I'm gonna just go do it the right way. I hope he does.
You never know, maybe he'll do his little magical mystery tour bit like he did in Anthology. And I have heard from people like Spielberg
who actually like this thing. Yeah, 37 years later.
Yeah, exactly.
Now herald as this.
Cult, you know, classic. What?
You'll be getting a Criterion collection of this in about 10 years.
I'll buy it.
You definitely will. Yeah. Robert, Andy, where did you rank Ballroom Dancing? I ranked Ballroom Dancing at number 4. That is the album that is Give My Regards to Broad Street, everybody.
Yeah,
surprise on the number one.
Now next week, I think I would hope that it'll be really different. You know, our ranking. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Music sound. As long as his idea for the movie isn't a circle,
right? Hey, listen. He asked George for some advice. You know, and you know George replied, "Don't do everything, you know, get other people to help you out." And, you know, I really wish that, you know, Paul would have taken George's advice on this, you know, because, you know, Paul was hands-on everything, you know what I mean? And
shortly after this, George wowed the world with Shanghai Surprise.
Well, you know what, but he had already wowed the world multiple times before that. You know, he had plenty of success. Well,
obviously with Python, right.
Python stuff, Time Bandits, Long Good Friday. I mean, there's multiple films that that I've seen that he's produced that are, you know, that are excellent.
Yeah, of course.
Nolan, you know, there's plenty.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
unfortunately, you know, like a lot of people's career, whether it doesn't matter what medium you're in, you're going to have a dud or two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you will. I mean, and James asked, will we ever see Broad Street on Blu-ray? I believe we will.
I think once we get the archive edition, he'll put it out. He'll give us a Blu-ray and a DVD.
Now,
copy.
Somebody said, I think on one of our threads there, that the movie may not be included in the box set because he doesn't own the rights to it. So, like, maybe he won't. I don't know.
Well, that's interesting because I don't know if he owns the rights to Rock Show. I don't see why he wouldn't own the rights to Rock Show. But when the Wings over America came out, Rock Show was not in the box set. It was released separately.
You had to get it separately, which is a shame because that really should have all been included in one thing.
Yeah, but, I think so. Yeah.
But over the last couple of releases, like Flowers in the Dirt, you got the Put It There documentary included.
Right.
Into it.
Exactly.
Now there's a MPL produced documentary.
Right. When you got the
20th Century Fox production, I don't know.
Yeah, when you got the Red Rose Speedway box set, he gave us a Blu-ray and a DVD copy of the Bruce McMouse Show. You know, so
that's true too.
So you never know. You never know.
I would think the Broad Street album would be a standalone release. I don't think that's going to get paired up with Press to Play.
I think 20th Century Fox would be like, no, go ahead. You can have the rights to this. Then you go ahead.
Not if there's a buck to be made. Because people like us are going to buy it.
Maybe.
Not if there's a buck to be made. Yeah. So a lot of people getting ready for Press to Play here next week. Yeah. Pretty Little Head is top 10 Macca song, said Keir Smith.
Wow. Great.
Top 10 Macca song. Wow.
Interesting.
The extended version, but we'll talk about that next week, you know?
Yeah.
But, so.
Well, that's a good one. Let's talk about it. Are we going to do the album version or are we going to do the CD version? Because the CD version then has the three bonus tracks.
I would like to do the CD version with the 13, because this is what I first knew as a fan, this one.
Okay, fair enough.
If you don't want to.
I'm fine with that. I mean.
Because I actually thought, like, when I got this, I thought this was, and then the album only has the 11.
Right.
So if you only want to do the 11, that's fine.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking then it'll give us less tracks to count when we do
the non-album?
The non-album tracks, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then that's fine. Then we'll save It's Not True and Tough and a Tightrope for those.
Oh. Fair enough. Yeah, we'll keep talking about it. We'll see how we feel.
We can do that, yeah. So as the man says on the last track, well, that's it. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We really appreciate you guys being here. We love all your rankings. Once this is posted on YouTube, please go back and list your rankings, and then we'll all give it a thumbs up and we'll try to comment as well. So we really love you guys being here. We love you guys taking this journey with us. It's been great so far. We're midway through the 80s, and we're just going to keep this train rolling. And next week, Press to Play.
Well, a couple more comments here. We got Press to Play. Somebody says do the 93 version. Somebody says the general consensus is to do the CD.
Right.
One person says do the vinyl. Well, we'll talk about that. So,
yeah.
Press to Play next Wednesday night, 24th, 8 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for watching us. Please subscribe. Please like our channel. Thank you, everybody who pops on here weekly. It's a highlight of Tom and I, my week, and I'm hoping it is yours too. So thank you, everybody out there tonight, for hopping on. Really appreciate it.
Yes. Take care, everybody. As always, have a great day and a beautiful night.
Bye.
Take care.